Psalms 23. That comes after Psalms 22, Sammy.
I found it.
Okay. I read this psalm earlier this week, and it seemed that my attention was directed back to the psalm almost every day throughout one thing or another that happened. And last night, as I was preparing for bed, I always check my email before I go to bed, almost last thing every evening. And one of the pastors asked a question through email. And as I was researching the question that he had asked, I read this psalm again. And I think, for me, this is probably one of the most peaceful psalms, the most comforting psalms, or for that matter, one of the most comforting chapters in the whole Bible. And so often, we just rush through it because it's become so familiar to us. I can remember as a child, this was one of the first passages of Scripture that we were taught or to memorize. And I don't know how many of you can remember this experience, but they would write the whole chapter on a chalkboard. And everybody would quote, would read the verse. And then the teacher would go and she would erase two or three words. And then you had to remember those words and you would go through the chapter or go through the reciting it until finally there were no words on the chalkboard. And the reason that we're given this chapter, I believe, is for when it seems as if life is crumbling around us. The history behind this chapter is while David is still just a young adult, still a young man, and he spent the first portion of his life as a shepherd. So in that first verse where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," it's something that's very, very close to his experience. Now, the truth of the matter is, we don't have shepherds these days. So, this is kind of a, okay, wonderful, the Lord is my shepherd. We see sheep out in pastures. You know, in those pastures there's probably a bale of hay, and there's a feeding trough where they put grain, and another trough where they keep fresh water for those sheep. But during the Bible times, a shepherd was very, very important. It was his job to go and search for a place to pasture his sheep so they would have enough grass to eat, so they wouldn't starve to death. It was his job to search out fresh avenues of water, whether it's a stream or a pond. He had to be sure that it was a safe stream or pond, that the current was so strong that if the sheep were to wade down into it a little bit, that they wouldn't be washed away. He had to, as a shepherd, he was there to protect those sheep. In fact, when he was preparing to go against Goliath, and the soldiers and King Saul were saying, "You're just a small child," David was able to stand and say, "You know, I might be a small child, but already I've killed a lion protecting my father's sheep. I've already killed a bear protecting my father's sheep." And as we think about what a shepherd did. And as David was thinking about what he did as a young boy, literally, not older than many of our of the children that were here, because most boys were shepherding by the time they were 10 and 11 and 12 years of age. He was looking around and he was realizing God has been my shepherd. When I'm running from Saul, or when I was running from Saul, he gave me the ability to find the caves to hide in. He found the places, the homes for me and my men to hide in. We didn't go hungry. He always provided for us, even though we were running. Even so much so that at one point they went into the temple and took the bread from the table of showbread. Excuse me, not the temple, in the tabernacle. To feed those men. And generally speaking, that bread was reserved for the priests. But the priests knew who David was. And so in verse 2, when he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. He's looking at all the ways God cared for him. In spite of somebody that wanted to destroy his life. And the reason Saul wanted to destroy David's life is because he knew that Samuel, the prophet, Samuel the priest, had already anointed him as his successor. And he didn't want David to be the next king. He had his own sons. He had Jonathan. And he wanted Jonathan to be the next king. After all, that's how the I can't remember exactly what it's called. Something about succession worked. If you were king, your son became king after you. And your grandson became king after him. We have this, that example over in Britain, even still today. And so David's run was literally running for his life, and he says, even when life was at its worst, when life was at its most hectic and frightening, you still cared for me. You led me to places where I would be safe. You led me to places where there would be something to eat. You led me beside the quiet stream or the gentle stream. Because beyond all of these chaotic things are happening in my life, you love me and you care for me. We read in the Word of God that even the hairs on our head are numbered, and God knows exactly how many hair we have. That's how intimately involved He is in our lives. He knows if we get up in the middle of the night trying to find the bathroom in the dark because we don't want to wake up our wives and we stub our toe. Ouch. Exactly. He knows the pain that we're experiencing. He's that involved. He's that intimately involved in our lives. He knows when we are experiencing depression because somebody has hurt our feelings. Or maybe it's even more than hurt our feelings. Maybe it was some crushing news. I can remember coming home it's been so long ago, I can't tell you how many years ago it was. Not that really that long ago, but it's quite a while back. And I met at the door of my home. And my wife says to me at that time, get your things. We're not together anymore. I'm filing for divorce. Talk about crushing. But even through that, God knew exactly what I was going through. And in the midst of all of that heartache, all of that heartbreak, the desire to be able to see my children every day and be there when they got up in the morning, when they went to bed at night, God was there. And just as David said, He restoreth my soul. Even when I thought I had nothing left. And take my word for it. There was about 2 weeks I laid in bed and blubbered like a baby. But through that, and looking back on that, I can still see how God restored me. How through everything that I had gone through, everything that my children had gone through, He was there. And He gave me strength. Looking at my children's lives, I saw how He blessed and gave them strength. And David says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The one thing we never have to worry about is God taking us down a path that's going to lead to sin. We don't have to worry about finding ourselves in positions that God put us in that would allow us to make decisions that are less than what God would have us to make. He's never going to put us in a position where we're going to find ourselves, for example, and this is extreme, He's not going to put us in a crack house to see if we're going to be able to withstand temptation. Those are the things we allow ourselves to get into. God brings us to paths of righteousness. That's why we have the Blanchard Church of God, for example. This is one of those paths of righteousness. Wherever there is an Abrahamic faith church meeting this morning, those are paths of righteousness. Wherever there's a pastor preaching what the Word of God says, not what man's traditions are teaching, those are paths of righteousness. And David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can fear no evil. Because You're with me. You're with me, God. Even when I am at death's door, You are with me. And You will bring peace and comfort, safety and security. I imagine David, while he was running for his life from King Saul, probably found himself at times cornered, not sure how he was going to get out, not sure how he was going to be able to escape imminent death. But God was right there with him. And even when he did come to the end of his life, God was right there with him. And the thing that we can walk away with is that no matter how dark our circumstances, whether it's financial, whether it's health, whether it's with our families, God is right there with us. Oftentimes we feel as if we're going through this alone. And if we think about that poem, Footprints in the Sand, we realize through those hardest times, God carries us through it. That's how intimately involved He is in our lives. That's how much He loves each and every one of us, cares for each and every one of us. He says, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Going back to the illustration that David says, well, I'm not afraid of Goliath. I've been able to kill a lion. I've been able to kill a bear. And God will protect me if I stand up to Goliath. And as we reflect on that story, what happened? David picks up 5 stones after trying on King Saul's armor and realizing it was too big, too bulky, and too heavy. So he reaches down and picks up 5 stones out of the stream. Drops them in his pouch. Can you imagine the throngs of the Philistine army as they're scratching their heads? Who is this child that you would send against the greatest warrior of the Philistine army? Can you imagine the taunts as they realize this little boy really is going against Goliath in battle? Surely Goliath is going to have the victory today because they're sending a child in battle against him. That's what David's talking about here. But because God was with him, he's got that first stone in the sling and he only needed one. And he's able to get Goliath right between the eyes and the forehead. That's how intimately involved God is in our lives. Even when things seem as dark as they can possibly get, God is there. He will bring us through. Unless we just flat out rebel. Unless we flat out say, I'm going to do this by myself. Or, I don't want any help. David says in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. That's realizing that everything that we have that's good comes from God. Everyone this afternoon will go home. And when it's bedtime, we'll all have a bed to go to. If it rains tonight, we don't have to worry about the rain coming in through the roof and puddling in our bed. We'll have the heat turned on. Some of us will have it turned on 65. Some of us like it a little bit warmer. We'll have it set at 70 or 75. Because God's provided us so many benefits and so many blessings, especially as Americans. And David finishes the chapter out with verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God's love and God's mercy, God's goodness are available to us at any day and at any time. If we feel like we're running a little low on love, all we have to do is take time to reflect on what God's provided for us. All we have to do is take time to consider the blessings that God's provided for us already. And he finishes by saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a a section or a phrase of prophecy where David realizes that because of his faith in the one true God of the Bible, and the Jewish people knew this inside and out, backwards and forwards. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. And Mark, Jesus even adds to that, all of our strength. One of these days, Jesus Christ will resurrect those who have died before us. He's going to resurrect those of us that are still alive. And He's going to set up a kingdom on this earth. That's what David was looking forward to. That's the promise that we're given in this Bible. If we place our faith and trust in the one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ, if we're baptized for the remission of our sins, we have the promise of eternal life and immortality in God's kingdom. And that was a promise that was of the utmost and extreme importance and extremely comforting to King David. And as human beings and as believers today, that's a comfort that we can take it. The fact that we will have some place where we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ for all eternity. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the things that we can see and read in the book of Psalms. For the comfort that You give us. For the promise of leading us, even when it seems that all hope is lost. Knowing that You're right there, intimately involved in our lives. We'll thank You, we'll praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.